This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with RotoWire.com. Go check us out at RotoWire. Use promo code VSiN. Get 15% off any RotoWire product. Check out all of our draft tools there. We'll be talking about those later on. Big show coming up today. We're going to do some Rate That Prop with the wildly specific props that we get from our producer, Wyatt. We're looking forward to that. Actually, they're not too wild today. I was a little disappointed, to be honest with you there. John McKechnie is going to join us talking a little college football there. I'm excited about that. We got some week zero props as well on that one there. I'm really looking forward to. And then we're going to talk a little baseball news and baseball, a betting card for later on in the day. But first, got a lot of NFL news. We got a starting quarterback change in the NFL. A job battle won. Daniel Jones is going to be the starting quarterback for the Colts over Anthony Richardson. It's not really a surprise given how they, you know, Richardson in a way was set up to fail a little bit there. The way they set this up, I'm not surprised, but it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I think it was the biggest job battle to monitor in the preseason, and did not necessarily expect, Jeff, that we would have a resolution on this through two preseason games. I mean, I'm not surprised that the Colts ultimately went in this direction. You know, it sounds like Shane Steichen was the true decision maker here, even if the front office maybe is a little bit more invested, we'll say, in the future of Anthony Richardson. But it's not like Daniel Jones grabbed this job by the horns in the preseason. You know, if you watch those games, there are plenty of misses from Daniel Jones, a couple decent throws here and there. You know, Richardson, of course, had the long one to Gold on the opposite side of the field in the past preseason game. That's kind of what you're clinging to if you're an Anthony Richardson supporter. But to me, Jeff, this tells me that they are a lot more comfortable with Daniel Jones based on what they've seen in training camp, based on what they're seeing day to day in practice. They're a lot more comfortable with Daniel Jones as the leader of this team. I mean, it's still being pitched as, you know, Daniel Jones is the safe option, which technically is true, but only because Anthony Richardson is the other option, right? Like, I don't think there's going to be a massive sense of stability now for the Colts offense. I mean, Daniel Jones has played productive stretches of football throughout his career. He's never really strung together a complete season. I wonder what this means for the future of Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. You know, the Colts have not only said, yes, Daniel Jones is going to be our starter, but they're holding firm on this idea that we don't want this to be week to week. We don't want to go through what we went through last year where you're just kind of waiting for one mistake and then, oh, maybe we'll pivot to somebody else. That never works. It's never really worked in the history of the NFL when you have a quarterback playing for his job series to series, week to week. So I understand putting that out there. You know, Shane Steichen was asked straight up, hey, you know, is there a path to Anthony Richardson finding his way back to the starting job this season? And he essentially said, yeah, unless Daniel Jones gets hurt, that's really not what we're looking for. So you have to wonder, Anthony Richardson's book is not written in the NFL, but I think they have to at least consider the possibility of just cutting their losses and moving on.
I would think that Richardson would almost beg for that, need that at this point in time to salvage his career. Please get him under the warm and protective embraces of Kevin O'Connell stat. You know, that's you know, if you can do it with Sam Darnold, you could do it with Anthony Richardson here. Otherwise you go down some, career paths there. You don't really want to touch, but you know, it's not the first time we've seen high profile quarterback bust before. You know, we've seen it, a number of different quarterbacks that, you know, it happens. They do bust, top 10 quarterbacks bust all the time. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's just a matter of the organization you come into. Sometimes it's a matter of the quarterback, and Richardson, who is always going to be a high risk, high reward sort of type of guy. Let me ask you this. Are you changing any of your Colts pass catcher rankings now because of this? Are you drafting anyone earlier or later because of this? I haven't changed any of my Colts receiver ranks either. Receiver or tight end is in the case of Warren.
Well, first of all, to your previous point, the Colts just never even gave Anthony Richardson a full chance to bust. You know, I know when you look at the numbers and the games that he's played in over the last 2 years, it's not pretty. You know, he's basically in like the bottom 5th percentile of every stat that matters. So maybe they have seen what they need to see behind the scenes. I don't know. But the difference here is that he hasn't played enough, I think, to have a definitive answer. And to draft that guy at number 4, knowing what the risk was, and then kind of act like, well, he's not ready, you know, and we're like, well, you knew what you were walking into, you know, like you knew this was going to be a multi-year process. You knew he had barely played any games at the college level. I think that's what's frustrating to me here. And look, this is an AFC South rival of the Jaguars. I maybe I should be happy that Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback, but it's just frustrating because I wanted to see Anthony Richardson succeed in the NFL. And it just feels like the Colts are not going to give him that chance. To your actual question, Jeff, I think it does provide a higher floor week to week. Now, you know, some of those splash games that we saw from someone like an Alec Pierce last year, you know, a lot of those did come with Anthony Richardson. You even had a guy in Joe Flacco last year who was more than willing to throw the ball downfield. Now, the deep ball is certainly not the strength for Daniel Jones. I think someone like Josh Downs, I feel even more comfortable with now. You know, to me, he's the most talented receiver in that mix. He's going ahead of Michael Pittman in most drafts. You know, I think this does build in a better floor for him in fantasy this season. Really not much of a change for Michael Pittman, who, you know, we've seen a massive drop year over year in terms of his ADP. He was going in the third round, fourth round in a lot of drafts last year. Now we're talking at or even after pick 100, you know, and it probably in a roundabout way does benefit Tyler Warren. You know, we saw Daniel Jones make a connection with him in the last preseason game. You know, I think Daniel Jones is the guy who you trust more in those short to intermediate throws. That was a big part of the reason that the Colts are not starting Anthony Richardson is, yeah, you can question the decision-making, but the accuracy on those short throws was a major, major issue. Daniel Jones is better in that area. So it's a plus for Josh Downs. It's a plus for Tyler Warren. It's kind of a no change for me on Michael Pittman.
That seems fair. And yes, there was a delta, you know, Downs with Richardson, Downs with Joe Flacco last year, enough that, hey, maybe it is worth making that change a little bit there on that. One final question. And by the way, I love your comp too. I wanted to make a comp. I loved your comment about not getting a real chance. Isn't he? It's so much like Trey Lance here in terms of the lack of reps, the lack of opportunity. I almost wonder if the practice reps are the thing that's also the thing we don't see as much. It kind of indicates that as much, especially in season a little bit there when they start closing the doors to practice. One final question. I've been doing a bunch of super flex leagues lately. Where does Daniel Jones slot in here? Is he still bottom? Like, would you take him over Rodgers? Would you take him over Flacco? Bottom fishing here. Like, but Daniel Jones versus Sam Darnold, who do you have?
I think it's still Sam Darnold for me because I'm not convinced that Daniel Jones holds this job for the entire season, right? I mean, one, he has to stay healthy. Two, he has to not play his way out of this job. There are still going to be people in that building. There are still going to be Colts fans who I think will be clamoring for Anthony Richardson. So from a job security perspective, you know, to me, it's less likely that Sam Darnold plays his way out of the job in Seattle. It's less likely that Aaron Rodgers plays his way out of the job in Pittsburgh than Daniel Jones in Indy. Like, would it shock anybody if by week five Anthony Richardson is out there? I don't think so. I mean, that's kind of how the Colts have operated over these last couple of seasons. So if I'm, you know, at that point in the draft, you could kind of shuffle in some guys. You know, if you're in a deeper super flex league, you know, maybe those do dry up a little bit more quickly. But I'm going to lean on the guy who I feel like is significantly more entrenched as a starter.
That seems fair to me. I think I'm with you on that, especially with Darnold. Maybe not. I would put Jones over Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to be so horrifically bad. We just had Adam Kaufman joining us on the SiriusXM Fantasy Show. I just think that's going to be just a horrible, horrible setup there. All right, let's get enough Colts quarterback talk to make you to last you through the week there. We'll move on, but before we do, quick note, did you know that RotoWire is a brand new look and even better fantasy football draft tools for the 2025 season? Whether you're using the Draft Assistant, which I do all the time for all my drafts, to get real-time insights as you draft, customizing your own strategy with the Draft Plan Creator, or testing scenarios with the powerful Draft Simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to know to draft with confidence. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. Head to rotowire.com, enter promo code VSiN at checkout, get 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Make sure to use all of our customization tools there. Link it to your leagues using the My Leagues feature. I can't tell you enough how important it is to go ahead and do that there, whether it's at the live sync or just doing your draft planning, you know, in season as well. It's going to matter. Sync up your leagues using My Leagues. Nick, let's talk about Bengals, Commanders. I think the Commanders just had another rushing touchdown. We got a lot of viral Jacory Kroski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill, content going these days. He had a couple of big runs and a touchdown. Bengals defense, they're in midseason form. They're getting gashed like nobody's business.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that was almost the bigger story than Kroski-Merritt, who, of course, immediately cashed in on the hype with a long touchdown. But the Bengals gave up 16.9 yards per play Jeff, over those first two drives for the Commanders. It was big play after big play. They started off with, I think it was 19 yards for Deebo Samuel on a jet sweep. Jaden Daniels, of course, runs one in for a touchdown. We saw this in the first preseason game for Cincinnati as well. I mean, this is just, you know, giving leverage to Trey Hendrickson, if nothing else. But we're at a point where, you know, just putting Trey Hendrickson back on this defense, I don't know if that really solves anything, right? I mean, the Bengals are going to be playing in a ton of shootouts this season. I think it's going to look pretty much exactly like it did last year. And yeah, that's a great recipe for fantasy success. There's a reason Burrow, Brown, Chase, Higgins are all going in the top 35, top 40 picks in just about any draft. But it's hard for me to have faith in this Bengals team as a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Like we've seen teams put together these all world level offenses. Yeah, you can win 9-10 games. Maybe you can make the playoffs. You can't advance in the postseason, especially when you're staring down the Buffalo Bills at Buffalo, the Baltimore Ravens, the Kansas City Chiefs. It's really hard for me to have faith in the longevity of this Bengals team, you know, as a potential division winner, certainly as a Super Bowl contender, based on what we've seen. I don't want to overrate the preseason, Jeff, but this has been alarming.
It seems like their fate is forever going to be the team you don't want to face in the playoffs if they get there. Because they're going to lose so many regular season games because of the defense there. But Trey Hendrickson, there's some clarification on the nature of the impasse there. It's all about guaranteed money. He wants more guaranteed money. The Bengals don't want to give it to him, especially beyond the first year of the contract. That's the way they do things, and they don't want to break out of that there. So, hey, let those principles ruin another season of Burrow, Chase, and Higgins. Fine, great. We're going to do Rate That Prop. Coming up next, this is Prop Points here on VSiN.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points, and we're going to do Rate That Prop, and we've been doing a lot of futures props when it comes to the NFL. We're going to actually get a specific one for week one to start off here. Once again, our producer, Y Tompkins, is going to go ahead and carefully curate a number of baseball and football props. We'll start off with football. And we're going to rate them on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being putrid, 5 being let's run to the window. Let's go with that, do that right now. Talk a little Saquon Barkley, Nick, to have 110 rushing yards against the Cowboys in week one, plus 170. Rate that prop.
Yeah, I mean, this is just vintage Wyatt in his bag here, right? We've been talking about all these player futures, team futures, win totals, and all of a sudden we're focused on a specific game in week one. But I like it, man. I mean, we are what, less than 2.5 weeks out from the start of the NFL season. I'm such a bad math guy on the fly. It's actually probably less than that. But anyway, Saquon Barkley, 110 plus rushing yards in week one. I like the price here at plus 170. So I'm going to give this a 4 out of 5, Jeff. I initially wrote down a 3 and I said, you know what? I think Saquon Barkley wants to pick up where he left off and have a huge game against a division rival. This is something Saquon Barkley did 11 times last season, including in the playoffs. First time out against the Cowboys, rushed for only 66 yards. In the second game, went for 167 yards. But keep in mind, in that first game, Barkley was banged up coming in. It was also a massive blowout. It was his lowest snap share of the entire season by a good margin, barely played in the second half. So that's a little bit of a misleading number. You know, if you dig in on some of the other rushing props for Barkley in week one, he's minus 128 to rush for at least 90 yards. He's plus 117 to rush for at least 100 yards. So the expectation is it's somewhere in the middle of those two numbers. Let's say about 95 yards. Look, he went for 109 yards in week one on a terrible field last year against the Green Bay Packers. And we have to also consider the defense that he's going up against, a defense that very well may not have Micah Parsons out there in week one. Dallas was a bottom five run defense a year ago, 31st in rushing EPA, gave up 137 yards per game, 4.8 yards per attempt, 25 rushing touchdowns allowed, by the way, the most in the NFL. So I think when we factor in the player that we're talking about, his propensity for big plays, a pretty attainable number at 110, and the price at plus 170, 4 out of 5.
Sounds like a DFS play to me, except it's Thursday night, so then you got to play standalone games and things of that nature. But yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. All right, last night we saw Jaden Daniels get a rushing TD. ran over Jordan Battle, who kind of did an Ole move there at the end. I don't know if this is a regular season game. He actually gives him a real hit or not, or maybe he just missed him. Who knows? Anyways, we're going to talk a little about Jaden Daniels rushing TDs. Over 5.5 rushing TDs, minus 125 is the sneaky tough part of about this prop as the price. What say you? Rate that prop.
Well, first of all, I will come to the defense of Jordan Battle. I think he did not want to be the guy who lit up Jaden Daniels and injured him in week two of the preseason. You know, I saw a bunch of people getting on Jordan Battle last night, and I know it's a real game. I know you're not, you know, you're not going to get penalized. You're allowed to hit the quarterback, but I don't think we see that level of effort in a regular season game. So Jordan Battle, I do have your back.
I hope not.
All right, 5.5 rushing touchdowns. This seems like a very attainable number, right? And I think it is. So I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. That means it's in, yeah, I would bet it territory, but I'm not running to the window to do so. He had 6 rushing touchdowns as a rookie last season. Certainly made it look easy last night. So this is a very prescient time to be talking about this. Of his 6 rushing touchdowns a year ago, Jeff, 2 came on QB sneaks from the 1-yard line. The others came from 3, 4, 9, and 17 yards out. So he's doing basically all of his work in the red zone. He ranks 2nd behind only Jalen Hurts in red zone rush attempts among quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels had 4 rushing touchdowns in his first 4 games of the season, then 0 over the next 7 games. Still went over this number by week 13. These are all positives, but it really depends on how the Commanders kind of allow him to play as a rusher, right? I think early in the season, we saw kind of the LSU version of Jaden Daniels. Then he started getting banged up a little bit. He was dealing with the ribs, and they really scaled back, you know, how often they were designing runs, how often they wanted him scrambling around and taking hits. And look, I expect that to carry over. I think if you're Dan Quinn, you want to protect Jaden Daniels at all costs, as we saw for, you know, virtually the second 75% of the season. I also don't love the price here at minus 125. Again, very attainable number if he stays healthy, but that is a question mark for me. He is, you know, one of those quarterbacks who does have a slight build. And some to consider, you know, like the best running quarterback to me by far in the NFL is Lamar Jackson. Lamar's gone under this number now in 4 straight seasons, despite being a better, more physical, higher volume runner. Now, yes, he has Derrick Henry. Yes, he has 2 great tight ends in the red zone. But I know this number feels low, Jeff, but I got to stop at a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I remember when after Daniels got drafted, we saw a lot of clips, video compilations of the hits that Daniels took in college, both at LSU and Arizona State, a quote unquote high runner, and how he wouldn't, you know, avoid hits very well. And he got drilled on numerous occasions, and like, oh, that he won't survive the NFL if he runs like that. And he did survive the NFL, but as you mentioned, he did take a number of different hits there. He was banged up a little bit. So I get it. I get the hesitation there. And yeah, you do see that sometimes. Bo Nix similarly had a lot of rushing touchdowns early in the season last year and then really stopped at one point there. Bryce Young will be our last contestant here on Rate That Prop. Over 18.5 passing touchdowns, minus 110. Hey, Bryce Young was awesome in the second half. Maybe not awesome. Competent in the second half. They drafted a first round receiver. Easy money, right? What say you?
I'm going 3 out of 5 on this one, Jeff. And, you know, like a number of these quarterback props, it's going to come down to how many games does he play. You know, every quarterback who started at least 16 games hit this number with ease last season. So if he gets to 16 starts, the numbers strongly imply that he'll throw at least 19 touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, by the way, the only quarterback to start at least 15 games and not go over this number. You look at the second half for Bryce Young, you know, he finished the year with 15 touchdowns and 12 starts, 14 total appearances, had only 11 touchdowns and 16 starts as a rookie. All 15 of his touchdowns came after his little timeout early in the season, our foray into Andy Dalton quarterbacking the Carolina Panthers. So that was 15 touchdowns in 10 games, 1.5 touchdowns per game. You prorate that out to 16 or 17 starts. Yeah, you should get there relatively easily. You know, I think the addition of Teteroa McMillan certainly helps. You know, they didn't really have anything in the way of a true red zone threat last season. Finally, as a number one, big time target, you know, big bodied ball winner type. So that gives us a boost. The Panthers defense is also going to be terrible. I know they've made some investments, but this was a team that literally set the NFL record for points allowed last season. You know, I think we have to be realistic about what type of progress they can make year over year. So as long as Bryce Young stays healthy, they're going to be in shootouts. There's going to be high passing volume. I stop at a 3, though, because I do wonder if he will stay healthy. And I do wonder if he could play his way out of this job. I haven't been super encouraged by what I've seen in the preseason. So it's bettable for me, but again, not one that I'm necessarily playing with a ton of confidence. We'll give it a 3 out of 5. Before we transition to a couple of baseball props, folks, the clock is ticking. Week 0 of college football kicks off this weekend, and NFL is just weeks away. Now's the time to get VSiN Pro and lock in your edge. New subscribers get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, loaded with team previews, power ratings, betting systems, and all the best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You'll also get daily best bet emails from our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits and market insights, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, full access to VSiN.com's tools, data, and pro systems. You can start today for just $9.99 or, better yet, save 50% with an annual plan. Sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe. All right, Jeff, my turn to throw you some props for tonight's MLB slate. We'll start with Tarik Skubal, Tigers home for the Astros tonight. Skubal, 8-plus Ks at plus 120.
Yeah, this is a tough one here. He hasn't reached that number much recently, just twice in his last five starts, only three in his last start out. Astros are not a big strikeout team. Last 30 games, they're 21%. That's 23rd in baseball, 22% against lefties, 21st in baseball. You know, and then there you factor in the weather. It's, you know, there's a chance of rain in this game. I'm not sure exactly on the timing of that. I have to dig in a little bit more. And it's something you should always be doing when you're looking at these props is do look at the weather, not just rain and all that, but also wind, heat, all these sort of things. It can affect command. It can affect how long the game's going to go. So dig into that a little bit more. But that's also a negative there. In fact, I rated this as a three. The weather makes me make it a two, maybe a stay away as a whole, or maybe bet unders on this one here. But the other thing here too, the only reason why it's not a two is, and it's a three is because I'm getting a plus price on this one, plus 120. Usually I don't get Skubal plus prices on his strikeout rate. So that's the only reason why I'm kind of going in that direction there, but it's been hard for him to make that level a lot lately there. So it's a three trending towards two.
All right, Jeff, we got time for one more, and I know you like this one. Juan Soto to hit a home run tonight against his former team, going up against the Nats, plus 290.
Yeah, this one I like a lot. Soto's hit five homers this month, has had a homer against Jake Irvin tonight, starter for the Nationals before. Jake Irvin is the reason why I like this a lot. He has been flammable lately. 27 homers on the season, 7.88 ERA, 1.79 whip, five homers allowed in his last 30 days. You know, it's plus 290. It's not a great price. I rarely do this for Dinger Tuesday or Dinger any day, but there's too many good indicators here. Maybe weather is the one thing that holds me back a little bit because it's a little cooler in D.C. I think a high of 71 today is the projection. That's one thing that may draw away just a little bit there, but this is a four for me. I like this one.
We'll have some more baseball plays coming your way later in the show, but we're talking college football week zero with our guy, John McKechnie, when we come back and find out why he is out on the Baylor Bears this season. College football coming up next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you on this Tuesday. One Major League Baseball game in action, the kind of re-doubleheader between the Brewers and the Cubs. Last night's game two rained out, so trying it again today. Game one underway. Brewers go down 1-2-3 in the top of the first. Currently one out in the bottom of the first, Ian Happ with a double after a flyout by Michael Busch. So we'll have some more baseball plays coming your way in about 15 minutes. We'll, of course, keep you posted on any action out at Wrigley Field. But it's time to talk some college football. Our guy, John McKechnie, our college football expert at rotowire.com, he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. John, you got some plays for week zero. That's coming up this weekend. We'll talk a little bit about some teams that you're targeting and fading this season. But we got to start with Farmageddon across the pond, too. The Aer Lingus College Football Classic, John, comes our way Saturday morning. Iowa State going up against Kansas State. We've talked a ton on this show about the variance, the unpredictability that we expect in the Big 12 this season. How do you break down this game?
This is a great matchup to get us started. You know, week zero, it can be one where you got to kind of squint to be able to truly love the slate. But I think that a game like Iowa State, K-State really brings a lot of the goods as far as a week zero game could possibly go. You know, Iowa State coming off the great season that they had. Avery Johnson, a guy who's, you know, kind of in his second year of being a Heisman dark horse at Kansas State. So a lot to unpack here when it comes to this matchup. I think when you look at Iowa State, you know, you lose two receivers to the NFL, which, you know, usually you don't really circle Iowa State as a wide receiver factory, but Higgins and Knoll both going off to the NFL. That's a big question mark for this team. But I do think that they're able to kind of reload on the fly there with Chase Soule and Xavier Townsend. And you have a really experienced quarterback in Rocco Becht being available for this Iowa State team, longtime starter for them. So I do think that things stay afloat as far as that Cyclones offense is concerned. And I'm just inclined to take the points here. I think at some shops, I think FanDuel it is, you can get Iowa State at +3.5. That's the bet that I'm trying to make for this one. This game is going to be close. It's going to be unpredictable. I'm trying to find the hook if at all possible, because it's a little bit tough to trust either side here on just the three. In Kansas State's side, Avery Johnson last year completed like under 50% of his passes against Iowa State, really had trouble solving this defense. But of the 12 passes that he did complete, three went for touchdowns. So real feast or famine for Avery Johnson last year against his Iowa State defense. I'm a little bit concerned about him in week zero. So ultimately, I'm siding with the Clones as the underdogs here.
I think just generally speaking, you want in these neutral matchups, it's not a bad idea to find underdogs, not a bad idea to find unders too. Sometimes that these teams, you know, with less week to prepare, in their first time out with a lot of changes in personnel, maybe take a while to get firing. Do you have any general like guidelines when dealing with these week zero slates?
Yeah, the flying in the face of what we'll talk about for the rest of week zero, unders are usually kind of like the good way to go about it. But these are low enough numbers to where you can easily look at the offenses and talk yourself into you know, an over in a couple of these games here. But for this particular game, a conference matchup like this one in the Big 12, I think the defenses will be a little bit ahead of the offense here. You add in the travel factor with this one being on a neutral site across the pond all the way in Ireland. I think that, you know, this could be a slog through the first half. So I don't want to make a full call on whether that we're going to see this one go under the 50 or 49.5, but I would be interested in a first quarter or a first half under. Absolutely.
Talking some college football week zero with our friend John McKechnie from rotowire.com. He joins us on the Progressive guest line. And just a reminder, VSiN road trip in live from Hawaii coming up later this week for week zero. We'll have special edition to VSiN Primetime on Friday. That'll be 7 p.m. Eastern, and the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show coming your way Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Tim Murray, Matt Eumanns out in Hawaii for Stanford, Hawaii on Saturday night. John, we were just talking some totals for week zero. I know you have a couple that you're eyeing up on the over side of things, including Kansas and Fresno State.
Yeah, leading us off with Kansas, Fresno State. I think that Kansas is an offense that has a lot of continuity to it. Jalen Daniels, it feels like he's been in college forever at this point. He's almost like their football Perry Ellis at this stage. But if he's able to play the whole season, I kind of like Kansas as a dark horse in the Big 12 generally. But for this game, Fresno State, new head coach, new systems across the board there. I think that they could be in a little bit of trouble, like that lack of continuity versus Kansas, this group that has really played together for quite some time. And Lance Leipold, the head coach, calling the shots there. I think that Kansas is going to kind of get us at least 38 of these 50 points that we're going to need for the over. And then Fresno State, you know, they have a guy in EJ Warner, the son of Kurt Warner, who I think it is, you know, he hasn't really gotten his chance to shine these last couple of years. The Rice stint didn't really work out for him, but he's shown some flashes there. And I think the Fresno State can run the ball. I think that Kansas, their defense is lacking just a little bit. And we've got an inventive new head coach there at Fresno State who, you know, kind of cut his teeth at North Dakota State. So I think that there could be points aplenty in this one. I'm not overly imposed by that Kansas defense once again. I think Fresno State actually can run the ball a little bit against the Jayhawks here. And then again, Kansas should be able to you know, move the ball at will on the other side of it. So this all kind of blends together to me as an over that 50.5.
Talking with RotoWire's John McKechnie, let's talk a little bit about Auburn-Baylor. Maybe the most exciting game I'm looking forward to in week zero. I think this is going to be interesting. Auburn's just claimed 4 more national titles. Raise the banner. Huzzah for them, War Eagle. Baylor has been a team that people are kind of getting optimistic about, but Auburn's favored on the road in this one, and you're not buying the Baylor Bears.
I am not. So, I mean, I think it's interesting right off the jump that Baylor is the home side in this one. It's going to be a Friday night game next week. And you know, it's going to be rocking in Waco, absolutely. And Baylor has a lot of hype. A lot of people really like the Sawyer Robertson guy at quarterback. And, you know, Dave Aranda, I think, is a guy that can kind of go through these fits and starts. But the good seasons that he was able to put together at Baylor have been largely impressive. But he's been really struggling to kind of have back-to-back good seasons there at Baylor. And I think that Auburn, it says a lot that they're favored on the road, despite, you know, kind of having these struggles these last couple of years under Hugh Freeze. I think that that's kind of a big statement or to pay attention to when it comes to this game, because the hype is more so on this Baylor team. And I look at this Baylor schedule generally, and I think that there's a better chance that they start 1-3 than 3-1. I think you look at this game against Auburn. I think Auburn can absolutely win that game. The next week, they go to SMU. Now, SMU, I suppose, is a discussion in and of itself, but I think that that's a tough game for Baylor. They do get sort of a bye week game against Samford, and then they host Arizona State, who I think is going to be really, really good once again this year with Sam Levitt at quarterback. So Baylor, for a team that really is kind of drawing some hype in a Big 12 conference where it does feel like 6, maybe even 7 teams have a legitimate case to win it. You got to kind of like pare things down, find the teams that you're looking to fade a little bit as the season goes on. And I think in Baylor's case, a rough start could very much be in play for them in a potential 1-3 September really puts them behind the 8-ball.
All right, John, we got about a minute left. So if you're out on Baylor in the Big 12, who are you in on? I know this is the toughest conference to handicap right now in terms of picking a conference winner, but who do you like in the Big 12?
I think that Arizona State can maintain. I like their head coach a lot. I think they have arguably the best quarterback in the conference in Sam Levitt. So even though it can be dicey to pick the favorites in preseason for the Big 12, I think Arizona State has the goods. I think they're for real. I think Utah, Devin Dampier is a Heisman Trophy dark horse. I think you can get him around 50-1, 60-1, depending on where you look. 19 rushing touchdowns last year at New Mexico. His offensive coordinator joins him at Utah. I don't think that we have another bad year from Kyle Whittingham and the Utes. If I'm looking a little bit further down the board, alluded to it just a minute ago, I think Kansas, all that continuity plus Lance Leipold, there's a lot to like about this Kansas team moving forward this year. I think if you're going for a longer shot, 18-1, Kansas would be the way that I go about it.
John McKechnie, everybody, check out all of his great work for us over at RotoWire. Follow him on Twitter at Johns_tailgate. As the official horse racing partner of VSiN, FirstBet is built for bettors who demand more. FirstBet isn't about just placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with proprietary AI handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. FirstBet's in-app tools give you win, place, and show probabilities for each runner, so you can quickly identify and easily find good value plays and improve your ROI. Right now, you can take advantage of their limited-time $250 sign-up offer. To claim your bonus, use promo code VSiN250 when you sign up in the FirstBet app or at firstbet.com. That's promo code VSiN250. Baseball updates, baseball picks, coming your way next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson here with you, taking you up to the top of the hour. Adam Schein coming your way next, starting up at 3 p.m. Eastern with Make It Rain Follow the Money, Paulie Howard, Matt Eumanns coming up at 4. Tim Murray, Greg Peterson at the desk for VSiN Primetime tonight. That starts up at 7 p.m. Eastern. We'll finish out, as we often do, with some baseball talk, Jeff. That one game in action, not a great start for the Milwaukee Brewers and Chad Patrick. 2-0 Cubs after a couple unearned runs in the bottom of the first. Bases were loaded. Had a throwing error by Andrew Vaughn, and Owen Cassie singles to right to bring in a couple of those runs. Currently one out in the top of the second, one runner on for the Milwaukee Brewers. A couple of news items, Jeff, that we want to hit before we get into your plays for tonight. The AL-leading Toronto Blue Jays. A little bit of concern here for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., set for an MRI on his hamstring, ended up departing last night's game with what they're calling just some tightness. Now, Jays play, again, at Pittsburgh tonight. They play tomorrow, off day Thursday, before they head to Miami for the weekend. So we'll see how this develops, but potentially a big concern here for Toronto, depending on how that MRI turns out.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been rolling. They've been such a good offense in the last 2 months, basically. Really hard to strike out, and Vlad leads the way. Maybe not the power that you were hoping for from him, but, you know, certainly he's been hitting for average. The team kind of takes its lead. They never strike out. But, yeah, we're going to be watching this one carefully. Mitch Keller versus Max Scherzer tonight. Blue Jays did lose against Skeens and Company yesterday. A little heated debate about Tommy Pham doing a bat flip after a walk, which was a nice little touch there. Any shock that Tommy Pham is kind of creating some discord there? I for one, am shocked there. But, yeah, we're watching this one here because, obviously, if it's enough to undergo an MRI, you would figure he's probably not going to be able to play tonight. We'll see that one. Blue Jays lineup isn't out yet. Pirates lineup is, and that one there. Toronto still heavy favorite, -157. 7.5 is the total in that one. I might dig into the Pittsburgh side of that again on the money line there. If you just from the standpoint, if you don't have Vladdy in the lineup there, I think that changes things quite a bit. And we know that Pittsburgh's a much better home team than they are a road team too. Saw that yesterday there. You get Pittsburgh +129 on the money line.
For what it's worth, I would like to go on record and say I am pro bat flipping after a walk. I hope this is something that starts a trend, even if it provokes a fight, which we haven't had enough fights in Major League Baseball this year, Jeff.
Yeah, and you know, Tommy Pham, he's the only guy that started a fight in the major leagues over a fantasy league too. So him and Jock Peterson. So we got that action there going too. So we'll always remember Tommy Pham for that. For as many dust ups there, that one being the one that kind of sparks in mind in particular.
Yeah, one of us, if nothing else, for Tommy Pham. Kyle Tucker, by the way, Jeff, not in the lineup for the early game. Not expected to be in the lineup tonight. Craig Counsell telling us after last night's game that Tucker set to sit out multiple days amid what has been an extended slump. As a Brewers fan, you just hate to see it, Jeff. You hate to see Kyle Tucker struggling like this. Since the start of August, 8-for-54 at the plate, has not homered since mid-July.
He hasn't even flown out to right field in like 30 days. It's really a kind of a crazy stretch he's going in here. A lot of pulled ground balls. He's just rolling over a lot of pitches, and you know, pull fly balls. I mean, that's kind of a trend in baseball that, you know, we were trying to emphasize that a little bit there, and he's not even able to do that. Going to get some work in probably with the hitting coach working at the cage. Maybe just take a day off. We'll see. But it's a weird time to do that, isn't it? I mean, you're talking about a big 5-game stretch against the Brewers, your principal rival in the division. Now, maybe you feel like, okay, we're not going to chase the Brewers. We're really focusing on, holding onto a wild card spot. But I don't know. This is kind of an interesting stretch here where, you know, it's your best player. You're looking at, you know, and he's looking at a big free offseason there as a free agent. Odd timing. He didn't run out of ground ball on Sunday, was getting booed yesterday. I get a little bit of why maybe you want to kind of take him out of that, but multiple days, I mean, when you've got, you know, a home stand, you know, big home series, 5-game home series against the Brewers. I don't know. I don't get it there. I get it, but I don't. I wouldn't handle it that way.
Yeah, still 2-0 Cubs, by the way, in that early game, but 2 on, 1 out for the Brewers. Bryce Turang currently at the plate. Let's get to some of your plays for the night slate, Jeff. Let's look at Astros Tigers. Talked a little bit about that Tarik Skubal strikeout prop earlier in the show. He's going up against Hunter Brown. We do have Detroit, pretty hefty favorite on the money line at home, -164. So we talked about Skubal, but what do you like on the Hunter Brown side of things?
Okay, so, you know, be careful about betting any overs on starting pitchers because of the rain in the forecast there. Just makes it a little bit difficult. Hunter Brown has actually, like Skubal, not been striking out batters as much lately. And sometimes you see that over the course of a season. Sometimes it's just a little stretch and then it corrects again. But Brown has been, you know, down in strikeouts. He's gone under the number, the strikeout prop is 6.5, and he's been under that in his last four starts. Meanwhile, Detroit, not a huge strikeout team, 19th in K percentage in the last 30, 22.5%. I like the under 6.5 Ks at -140, but I'm kind of trying to thread the needle here too, because we're getting plus money on Houston with Hunter Brown on the mound. I understand it's against Skubal. I get why it's like, why it's so extreme. But I think these are two relatively equal teams, and they've got their ace on the mound too. So we're getting plus 134 on the money line on Houston. I think out of principle, I think I got to take that a little bit there, just because Brown isn't Skubal, but he's not that far off. You know, and in fact, their ERAs are, you know, 0.03 of a point from each other. 2.45 ERA for Brown, 2.42 for Skubal. Yeah, I feel like, you know, let's go ahead and take the plus money there. I understand what's happened the last 2 days. Houston's been shut out 2 days in a row. But I think that's pretty good value. So give me plus 134 on the money line, too.
Let's take a look at Mariners Phillies tonight. Phillies big favorites on the money line. Total coming in at 8. This is Bryce Miller making his return from the IL, going up against Christopher Sanchez, 11-4, 2.45 ERA on the year. How do you break this one down?
I want to attack the starting pitcher like we did last night a little bit. We saw the Logan Gilbert home road splits. Guess what? Every Mariners pitcher is usually far worse on the road. We're starting to see that effect, and they're on this long road trip too. Tough grind for them. At least they didn't travel last night, so it might be a little bit better. They got crushed yesterday under Gilbert, but you know, Bryce Miller in his career, 4.79 ERA on the road over the last three seasons, 1.22 WHIP. It's far better at home in T-Mobile Park. Miller allowed four homers on his rehab assignment in the last two of his rehab games. Maybe that's a PCL thing, but you know, a lot of launching pads in those ballparks in the Pacific Coast League. He's going to be limited to 80, 85 pitches probably. The Mariners bullpen has been taxed pretty heavily the last 2 days. I think this is an interesting spot there to go back to Phillies again. I may not go on the money line here, might not go on that, but the Phillies team total over 4.5, minus 115. I like that quite a bit. You know, we were going to talk a little bit about Cal Raleigh and an RBI prop, and it's just a stay away because of Christopher Sanchez. Just one stat on Sanchez. He's allowed three homers in his last 12 starts. He's so good. Got the loss last time out, but got poor run support and poor defensive support.
All right, quickly, Jeff, anything for you in Yankees Rays tonight?
Yeah, I want to attack Shane Boss. Shane Boss has been terrible lately. 8.28 ERA, 1.68 WHIP in his last five starts. Rain's in the forecast, so maybe that limits some of the exposure that Boss might have. But, and why I'm not going to bet any Rodon props pitching for the Yankees, we're going to go Yankees over 4.5 on the team total. Get plus money at that, plus 110. I think the Yankees get to Boz. They got to him earlier in the year, too.
You can find all of our picks each day and from all of our shows here on VSiN over at VSiN.com if you are, in fact, a VSiN Pro subscriber. It's time for our G-Bank Best Bets of the Night. You can get the G-Bank Visa Signature Card right now, built with sports bettors in mind. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when you're using your own money, G-Bank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3 to 5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll get 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now over at vsin.com/gbank, vsin.com/gbank. Best bet of the night, Jeff, where are we going?
We're going to go that under on the Hunter Brown strikeout prop, under 6.5 Ks at minus 140 is the only negative on that one there, but I really like the prop itself, even if I don't like the price.
All right, we're going with the money line play tonight, Jeff. We're taking the Guardians plus 104 on the road at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Guardians been one of the best road teams in baseball this season. Arizona, one of the worst home teams, sub 500 at home, seventh worst home record in Major League Baseball. Tanner Bibee hasn't pitched all that well lately, Jeff, but he's finding a way to win games. He's won five of his last six starts. We'd also take a look at the over 8.5 in that Guardians Diamondbacks matchup later tonight. We'll leave you with a score update from Wrigley Field. Currently 2 on, 2 out for the Milwaukee Brewers. Still 2-0 Chicago Cubs. That's going to wrap the Tuesday edition of Prop Points. We'll be back with you tomorrow afternoon. Stay tuned. Make it rain. Coming your way next here on VSiN.